Come out, Virginia, don't let me wait. You Catholic girls start much too late. All the sooner or later it comes down to fate. I might as well will be the one. Well, they showed you a statue, told you to pray. They built you a temple and locked you away. Ah, but they never told you the price that you pay. The things that you might have done. Only the good die young.
Hi, everyone. My name is Dr. Michael Walden. You're listening to Ask the Blood Detective. I am the, the self-proclaimed original blood detective. I was given that name by a grateful patient because I found out what was going on with her, a serious health problem. It was multiple sclerosis when many other types of healthcare providers did not find it. Am I smarter than all of them? No, I'm not saying that at all. But I will say that my thinking is almost entirely within a holistic concept. And today's show topic demands that you think holistically as well. The show topic is how to deal with your health problems holistically. Many individuals that have come to see me over the last nearly 28 years tend to be far more educated. They tend to understand that nutrition is not only important for building health and preventing and treating disease, but that it is of paramount importance. On the other hand, however, what I've seen over the course of decades is that even intelligent individuals, when they choose certain diets or foods or particular ways of eating or supplements or whatever other type of so-called holistic therapies, they sometimes, I would say at least half the time, fail to put it together correctly in a holistic balance. So let's just define our terms here for a second so we're all on the same page, so that when we speak about various health problems, common health problems, headaches, energy issues, memory problems, increased blood cholesterol, pain, cancer, autoimmune disease, we can speak about these things from a very fundamental place, a holistic place, which will allow you to see connections in your nutritional efforts and your lifestyle so that you can get health problems resolved. Now ask yourself this question, and I'm sure that most of you will respond in the affirmative. How many times have you seen, let's say, a regular medical physician only to be left frustrated that that physician did not take you seriously, that they did not believe in nutritional supplements, or they didn't believe in the holistic approach, or they didn't believe that diet has the impact that you felt it could have and maybe has already have upon your health problem? I think practically all of us share some of this frustration. Some of my patients are particularly bothered by it, where when we sit down to talk, it might take up 10 minutes of the conversation of complaining that physicians are not listening. And not only are they not listening, they often, and I am generalizing here, but this is just in my experience, they often make fun of and ridicule the individual who is choosing a holistic perspective. So I don't think during the next 45 minutes or so of the show that we're going to resolve the issues between individuals and their non-holistic practitioners. But what I think we can do very effectively is, number one, build a strong base of confidence so you can not be so bothered by and confused by why your regular doctors do not support you. You can go ahead and you can make your choices, recognizing that you might actually have a lot more knowledge. I mean, how can any practitioner of any type say to an individual, and this is a rhetorical question, but how can a practitioner in all good conscience who has no training or experience, either personal experience or indirect experience in the use of natural medicine, and still say, one, it doesn't work, there's no proof, those practitioners are not honest. These are defense mechanisms. We have to remember that healthcare physicians, like untrained medical providers in the natural healthcare field, are just individuals protecting their egos and having their biases, like we all have. My bias is holistic, except I never downplay medicine. I went to medical school. I graduated medical school. I earned an MD diploma. I went to chiropractic school. I graduated and practiced as a chiropractor. I'm in a nurse practitioner education school at the moment. I completed a master's degree in nutrition. The reason I say these things is I have always strived to expand not only my base of knowledge so that I can just bring more to each individual, more options, but to me, doing all of those things I just mentioned and more, they are supportive of one fundamental thing, of the demand of a holistic perspective to take all the knowledge from where I can get it, putting it in that holistic pot so it has certain connections. So patients have said to me, Dr. Wald, my doctor says that vitamin C cannot help my cancer, and it's a waste of time, and it's a waste of money. And I would say something like, okay, I understand your doctor has an opinion about this. Does your doctor have any nutrition training? Oh, I don't know, the patient might say. Then I would say, well, does your doctor have some personal experience that perhaps has him or her feel this way? Well, I don't really know. He or she just said that this is worthless. Now, this is very confusing to some people because for the most part, the general public has a lot of trust and respect for physicians. But we shouldn't make the mistake that just because a physician has great knowledge in their area of medicine or study, that necessarily makes them experts in other areas. In fact, that is a common psychological error and phenomena where people might assume competency in an area or think that someone else is competent in an area just because they're smart in another. And then you might think, based on what patients have said to me, they'll also say, Dr. Wald, well, can't you just speak to them on the phone and explain what we're doing? And I would say, of course I would. Here, you have my phone number. Have your practitioner call me. Do the calls come? No. Even when practitioners say to a patient, I would speak to Dr. Wald, I can tell you that over 28 years, it almost never happens. The few times it has happened, it turned out one of two ways. And this is leading again to how we're going to explore your health problems from a holistic perspective. The practitioner would call me after multiple attempts because we both have busy schedules. And then in the few minutes that we have to speak by phone, the practitioner basically is either not speaking about the topic or just expressing some upset or saying, well, the patient asked me to call and I'm calling. And if it happens to be a bit more of an open-minded practitioner on the other end of the phone, they might say, well, what is this business about blood detective and reading blood work for nutrition? And I would say, well, actually, it's exactly what it sounds like, doc. You know, we have the regular laboratory work that, you know, you and I both do. And there's two ways of reading it. One is you look at the blood work and you say it's normal or there's a few abnormalities. And that means that the labs are normal or not compared to average either men or women. Now, the average man or woman, particularly over age 50, is not that healthy. So I say to the practitioner, what I'm interested in is looking at the blood work from a different perspective, from a holistic perspective, the same numbers that you look at on the blood test, but I look at them differently. And they'll say, what do you mean? What do you mean you look at them differently? Well, what would you say, doctor, if someone's cholesterol levels are high? So that's the first health problem I'm going to talk about now. Hypercholesterolemia, high cholesterol or blood fats. And the practitioner would say, well, you know, if the cholesterol is high and the LDL is high and the good cholesterol is low, for example, I would have the patient take a statin medication. And I would say, well, would you improve their diet and exercise? Oh, well, those are basic things, and it's passed over. So the contrast between how an internist or a cardiologist might look at your increased cardiovascular risk on a blood test means that they're looking at the blood test, comparing you to other people your age, which also have high blood fats and things of that nature. And as you get older, by the way, folks, as you get older and your biochemistry is more abnormal, the laboratory normal ranges change to reflect the average. So, for example, if most 60-year-olds have a cholesterol of 185, that is considered normal for a 60-year-old. But we wouldn't want to have a 185 necessarily if someone is 35 or 45 years old. My point here is that when a blood detective like myself looks at the lab, I don't just see high cholesterol and low HDL or high LDL. And I certainly do not see a deficiency of a statin medication, because that's really what docs are kind of saying. For example, if you have a headache, you have a deficiency of acetaminophen. No. What you have is a Band-Aid. And sometimes Band-Aids are needed. But when a blood detective looks at the labs, I say, oh, high cholesterol? Well, the cholesterol is made in the liver. So perhaps the liver is overproducing cholesterol. Perhaps the liver is hypometabolic. It's slowed down. So it's making too many blood fats. And the person might require a certain amount of milk thistle. Perhaps 500 milligrams per every pound of body weight. Or that person might require a certain B vitamin called alpha-lipoic acid, which we know and studies have shown can effectively not just lower LDL cholesterol, but it can help the body convert bad LDL cholesterol to a far less dangerous form of LDL cholesterol. And if someone has high blood lipids, blood fats, and I look at their blood work, the same lab that the regular doctors look at, I might also see an increased need for niacin, B3, which we know helps to improve blood flow and open arteries and improve circulation. Also the need for vitamin E. I could go on, plus maybe more fiber and certainly a certain type of exercise. But when a regular physician looks at it, their bag of tools are medications. When all else fails, in my opinion, medications could be considered, maybe smaller doses with the right nutrition, but first, give the body what it needs. So a holistic perspective is that without proper nutrition, something cannot improve and cannot heal. Now, when it comes to, let's say, pain of any type, whether the pain is neuropathy or nerve pain, like diabetics have, or when people simply have tingling and numbness along with pain from, let's say, spinal compression or arthritis or damaged soft tissues, or maybe it's muscular pain, it's joint pain. Pain, all forms of pain have one thing in common. Do you know what it is? Think about that for a second. Yeah, right. Inflammation. So the holistic perspective, no matter what health problem you can think of, remember that long list of health problems at the beginning of the show I talked about? What inflammation entails is breakdown of the cells. And depending on the cells, which make up tissues and organs, then we have a particular health problem. We call it what we call it. We call it a migraine. Again, we call it arthritis of the knee. We call it lupus or multiple sclerosis or diabetes. And in medical circles, though, because they are not looking at things as they are, things are holistic. That's just how they are. They look at things as separate compartmentalized entities. That's as plain as I can put it. So I had a young woman in yesterday who had an issue with her foot. And until I examined her foot and poked and prodded in some areas, she did not know she had an issue with her foot, which was causing pain on the opposite side of her back. So she had pain in the right foot, she had discomfort in her left lower back. And she had had x-rays and MRIs of her left lower back. So we did some pressure point therapy there. I gave her orthotics and all, her pain in her back went away. I'm giving you an example of how, if I wasn't thinking holistically at the moment that possibly something in the foot might be causing back pain, this young woman would still be suffering from this, and it was so fast for it to resolve. Holistic thinking tends to put things together quickly because the things we're putting together, we're not putting together. They're already together. Okay. When we even say that things in the body are connected, the word connected implies that they're put together. But they're not. The body is the body. Any illusion or delusion that we're putting everything together is an improper way of thinking of the body and relating to the body. The reason I bring this up is for this reason. If a regular physician is exploring your health problems, or you in fact, and you are thinking of the body as, oh, well, I have a gastrointestinal problem, or I have a hormone problem, or I have an immune problem, or a nervous system problem, etc. What you are already doing from the get-go is incorrectly evaluating what the problem actually is. And therefore, if you have a medical treatment or a nutritional treatment, let's say a holistic treatment, that is based on looking at the body in chopped up, compartmentalized parts, you are bound to either not help yourself at all, help yourself somewhat, or think you are in the short term and realizing in the long term you haven't. And the simple reason for this is that, and this is important to hear, I think, this was my epiphany years ago. If you approach healing in the body or health maintenance in the body from a truly holistic perspective, that means you will need to satisfy certain holistic conditions. And this approach is consistent with how the body actually works. The traditional medical approach is not consistent with how the body actually works. So if it's not, then how could its therapies be correct? The answer is they can't be. Now, I'm not implying that there is no good use in medicine. I'm simply saying that when we want to approach healing and we want to maximize the potential effects of the healing process and our use of foods and supplements and exercise and stress reduction and meditation and all of that, we should think about it in a holistic perspective. Let's look at another health problem. Let's talk about the intestinal tract. So I have seen many individuals who come to me and they have fatigue. They have what looks like a pasty tongue, which may be fungal overgrowth. They might have muscle and joint pains. Their sleep is just not restorative. And they may have any other number of symptoms, let's say in their intestinal tract altogether. So I'm thinking of a gentleman that I have seen that for years he has been jumping around to different specialists, looking at his quote unquote different body systems. And they looked at him up and down, and they did their testing. And according to the patient, I had every test done on the planet. I hear that all the time. And they could not find anything. When I looked at his findings and I did some additional tests, I realized that this patient had something called small intestine bacterial overgrowth, or SIBO. Now, I then sent him to a gastroenterologist who tested him and confirmed that he, yes, in fact, did have small intestine bacterial overgrowth, and proceeded to give the man the standard of care in GI medicine, gastrointestinal medicine, which is antibiotic therapy, large doses to wipe out all the bugs in the gut. Now, the problem with that from a holistic perspective is that it's not a cure. It's not only not a cure, but it could potentially seriously harm the person, because if you try to eradicate all of the bad bacteria in the intestinal tract, you're going to also eradicate most of the good bacteria. And also, and this is very important, it goes to the concept of antibiotic resistance, which almost everyone listening knows what that is, right? Antibiotic resistance means that we have bugs around that are super resistant to antibiotics because of the correct use, the wrong use, the overuse of antibiotics by physicians. Now, SIBO, think about this. Think about this as the same as all diagnoses, and this is the holistic perspective. SIBO, small intestine bacterial overgrowth, is not a cause of itself. It can't be. It's only a descriptive term meaning exactly what it says. There's an overgrowth of bacteria in the bowel. So what would a gastroenterologist do? Well, I just told you. The gastroenterologist would give antibiotics and hope that you survive. I hope that that helps you. But holistic thinking tells us that, wait a second, there has to be a problem in the immune system, at least the local immune system, which is in the small intestine. We've got between 70 to 80% of our immune system in a place called the Peyer's patches in the wall of the small intestine. And if there's a problem with that immune system in the small intestine, any problem can happen anywhere in the body. Now, the GI doctor throws antibiotics at SIBO. What I would do as a blood detective who thinks holistically, who's holistically minded, as you now are, right, audience, is to target, at least not exclusively though, but target and consider the local immune system in the intestinal tract. So one of the things we'd want to do probably is to patch up the leakiness in the intestinal tract. You know, leaky gut syndrome? Many of you have heard of that. That just means that the small intestine wall is breaking down. It's becoming leaky. It doesn't work. Toxins and organisms in the intestinal tract can leak out into the blood. That could activate the immune system, promoting and worsening inflammation. It is a cycle of errors. But that's how holistic works. You can't affect any one thing in the body, or any one thing on the planet, by the way, without affecting many things that are not only close to that thing you've tried to affect, but things quite at a distance. Sort of like the butterfly effect. In fact, it is that. So I would want this individual with SIBO, where the bacteria overgrowing because of a leaky gut. But why do we have a leaky gut? Well, maybe there's an immune problem. There was immune insult to the small intestine wall. Yeah, but what caused that? Well, maybe it's diet. Well, why did the diet affect the person? Maybe the individual doesn't have enough digestive enzymes, so they eat foods. The foods are not digested fully. They're irritating to the small intestine. The small intestine lining gets inflamed, which means leaky. Since the environment of the small intestine has now been affected in this way, the bad bacteria love that sick environment, so they start growing like crazy along with bad fungal organisms, and it gets more leaky, and we have more intestinal overgrowth, and then all of those endogenous toxins, the toxins from in the body, leak out, and they swim around, they circulate in the body, and a person can have fatigue because they're overwhelmed with bacterial products, with inflammatory mediators as a result of the breakdown of the small intestine. And then a person can have joint pains. And then because of these chemicals and all this disruption and stress is happening, you know, the stress works upon the adrenal glands, that the person might have non-restorative sleep because the nervous system is hyper-irritated due to all these changes and stressors. So I think you get the point here, that I am describing these connected, quote-unquote connected processes as if they weren't a single holistic event. And in medicine, if you have joint pains from SIBO or or leaky gut, which results, by the way, I did not mention, in malabsorption, meaning you wouldn't absorb normally in your small intestine because of this. And once that happens, anything can happen absolutely anywhere. If you do not absorb your nutrition properly, everything breaks down. So you would go to your internist and you'd say, I'm not sleeping. And they would say, they might discuss with you sleep hygiene, meaning, okay, well, when you're in bed, and if you're in bed more than, let's say, 25 minutes, you want to get out of bed, you want to sit in a chair, you might want to read a book. You don't want to go back to bed until you're absolutely exhausted. Only use bed for sleep. Don't watch TV in bed. Have a routine at night. All kinds of things. And that's all very, very good. They might offer you a sleep aid, for example. If they're really intuitive, they might say try melatonin. My point here is that your nervous system could be irritated from the leaky gut scenario. But the internist who's dealing with your sleep does not deal with those sorts of gut problems. So the GI doctor would. But the GI doctor would give you antibiotics. And they wouldn't address the fact that you don't sleep, because that's not in their scope of practice. And they're not going to deal with your joint pains that could result from all of the things that I just mentioned. They'd send you now to either back to your internist for some painkillers for your knee and maybe an x-ray of your knee or an MRI, or they might refer you to an orthopedist who would then again take an x-ray and or MRI of your knee and say, yeah, there's some degeneration, I see some inflammation, so you need to go to physical therapy. And not addressing the internal inflammatory degenerative process that may have started in the intestinal tract. So when you come from a holistic perspective, you get to see that, oh, wait a second, this person's sleep issues, their irritability, their skin inflammation, their chronic pain, the fact that they get bloating or they don't have normal bowel movements, and the like, are all very common manifestations of a breakdown in the intestinal tract. But keeping in mind that the intestinal tract, where the immune system is, most of it, does not exist in a vacuum. So when I approach any patient with any health problem, I like to look at most all body systems at one time. Why? Well, because that is the holistic perspective, because the holistic perspective is based on the reality that all of these areas in the body are all one thing. So that means certain foundations of healing need to be managed no matter the health problem. You might want to write these down. What are the fundamental things that you might want to think about and bring up to your holistic provider? And I say that with a little bit of reservation, because we don't really know if they're holistic. But here's how you can figure it out. If you agree that a holistic perspective is the way to go when treating health problems, number one, no matter your health problem, you need to know if you are absorbing what you're eating properly. Remember what I've said in other past Blood Detective shows? I've said, you are not what you eat. That is wrong. You are what you absorb from what you eat, right? And when you say that, you don't need any further convincing. It's just, it's self-evident. I like to point out these self-evident concepts and ideas because they're not that self-evident until they're pointed out. I'll take that one step further. So you're not only not what you eat. You're not only not what you absorb from what you eat, but you are what you activate from what you eat. So, for example, if you eat foods with B vitamins, you can eat them, but that doesn't mean you're going to absorb them. But if you absorb them, your body, your liver in particular, has to activate those B vitamins so they can be used in the body. So we need to assess absorption and the basics of what you eat, and to figure out either directly or indirectly, are you using what you're taking, right? Because if you can't figure those things out, then how can you fix any problem anywhere in the body if the body requires nutrition for healing? The body is made of solids. The body is made of proteins. It's made of fats and other tissues. These are directly impacted by what you eat, what you absorb, and what you activate from what you eat. It doesn't matter that you take a zillion supplements and eat all the right foods. That brings me to the next holistic concept. But we all know that we need to eat well in order to improve our probability of health maintenance and to manage disease. I think everyone listening to this show knows that. But what is the right way to eat? Well, sure, I agree with you because you're thinking, well, we want to eat very little sugar, if any. We want to eliminate white and processed flours. We want to have foods that are lower down on the food chain, foods that haven't bioaccumulated as much toxin. We want to choose foods that are organic when possible and GMO and perhaps gluten-free. Now, all of that sounds reasonable, except it's nonsense, meaning that those generalizations, remember, holistic medicine is about the individual, and it's also about holistic health or holistic thinking is about you. It is about you. So how do we know that you really need that generalized healthy diet? Well, for argument's sake, I will agree with you that the principles I just mentioned, again, eliminating refined and processed foods, eating lower down on the food chain, eating organically when you can, etc., those are the cliche things you hear about, and those are probably a good start. But if you, for example, have dementia, you have just memory loss, if you have Alzheimer's disease or Parkinson's disease or multiple sclerosis or any other nervous system disease, neuropathy, you will need a diet that produces more ketones in it, for example. And that diet might include eating more meat if you're a meat eater, and yes, organic and all that stuff, which, by the way, is super toxic still. I have prior shows that talk all about the diet lies. You might want to look that one up, where I destroy all these generalized concepts about what healthy foods actually are, or at least I explore a lot of them. So if you have a neurologic problem, as I was saying, you might need more protein in your diet. You might need more fats, particularly fats called medium-chain triglycerides. Now, the diet, in order to have a diet that is high enough in medium-chain triglycerides, which are a type of a healthy fat that make ketones, which help to heal the nervous system. That's the whole point here. So again, the nervous system diseases, some of them are headaches, including migraines, nerve pain. Then there's dementia, Alzheimer's disease, multiple sclerosis, neuropathies. You cannot heal the nervous system without modifying the levels of ketones. So a person might have to take supplements of medium-chain triglycerides because it is very difficult to maintain a natural diet alone that is high enough in ketones to actually heal the nervous system. I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm saying it's extremely difficult. So the holistic perspective must think of what sort of way of eating does this person need for their problems, not what they think a healthy diet might be. And in the case of all the neurologic diseases, the fundamental thing is the ketones. And so many people, absolutely most of the people I see that have these neurologic problems, they're concerned about their memories, they're getting weaker, their nervous systems are atrophying, they're shrinking. They have never even heard of the ketogenic approach. Every neurologist knows that ketones are required fuel for nervous system repair, but because they're not holistically minded, they don't even think about using a supplement like medium-chain triglycerides or altering the diet so it has more of a ketogenic effect. So let's look at one of these conditions. Let's call it dementia. Now, you may not have dementia, which you probably don't if you're listening to the show, but there is a very high percentage, about 50% of people over age 60, who do in fact develop some obvious disruption in their thinking that is memory loss and can lead to Alzheimer's dementia. So let's talk about memory in general, because what I say is true for memory is also true for dementia in terms of treatment. Now, the traditional way in medicine of treating dementia is through the use of one or another medications. Now, the medications used for dementia are known to be a miserable failure. We have an epidemic of memory loss and Alzheimer's dementia. Now, Alzheimer's dementia could have a few causes. And medicine, because it does not think holistically, really doesn't put much thought to this. For example, I suspect, and some research, a lot of research actually supports this, is that memory loss, and you know, memory loss starts first, and then obvious dementia starts, and then might be labeled there eventually as Alzheimer's dementia, could be from mini strokes, what are called transient ischemic attacks, or TIAs, which steal away the person's life, steals away the person's memory and who they are, because the blood vessels become arteriosclerotic, they become hardened, there's lack of blood perfusion, the nerve tissues in the spine of the brain, particularly the brainstem of the individual with Alzheimer's, degenerate in particular ways. And the medications, again, are a miserable failure. And medicine still is looking for the magic bullet, like it does with cancer and other diseases. Every other month, someone will come to me and say, "Dr. Wall, what do you think about this cancer cure pill? They found the answer," or, "This is the answer for Alzheimer's dementia." My holistic mindedness already starts to tingle. And I have a fundamental belief and knowing that that is not possible. It cannot be possible, because even anyone who has been diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease could have that for any number of reasons. So holistically, how would we approach it? Well, we certainly don't run to drugs first, and they don't work. So we probably wouldn't go to them at all. So we have to consider other causes. We're in a toxic environment. Heavy metals like aluminum is known to be implicated in brain degeneration, producing the same types of what are called perturbations or damages to the nervous system that a person can be diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. So what they need, particularly as early as possible in the memory loss, is to assess their heavy metals and remove them. But that's not enough, folks. Just finding metals and removing them doesn't identify where they came from and doesn't fix your body's ability to remove them. Some of you will get intravenous chelation therapy for years, which is almost entirely unnecessary because there are oral supplements that effectively remove metals. But many people, again, that I've seen also take on a non-holistic viewpoint. Well, they'll say to me, "Well, I heard that chlorophyll will remove metals, and that's what I need. Or I did chelation therapy." Well, depending on the metal or metals, you might need several chelators, that's a term meaning remove. And again, we always want to examine the environment. Now, toxins, here's a holistic concept for you. Toxins in the environment, whether they're chemical toxins or they're electromagnetic or they're ionizing radiation or they're stress, all of these environmental factors impact our bodies to various extents. Sometimes we're aware of these problems caused by, let's say, electromagnetic radiation promoting migraines or vertigo or tinnitus, ringing in the ears, or heavy metal toxins are causing fatigue, headaches, skin problems, autoimmune problems. The holistic perspective assumes that there is an impact of the environment upon the body. And there's also an impact that the body has upon itself because we produce toxins ourselves. But in the non-holistic arena of healthcare, and I again admit I am generalizing, but this is the philosophy of regular medicine, is they, unless it is a very obvious connection, someone's working in a factory, they're exposed to, you know, chemicals and that cause their health problems. If it isn't that obvious, medicine doesn't think about it. And what is problemsome is that, in my experience at least, I see patients who visit very well-meaning medical physicians. And those doctors have told them to ignore everything that we have just said about healing the body. That, no, it's not the environment. You don't have a problem. It's not heavy metals. You have anxiety. You have depression. And then they prescribe Paxil or some sort of antidepressant or antipsychotic or something like that, because they could not emotionally, this is my concept on this, is that when the doctor cannot understand where the problem's coming from, then they blame it on the personality type of the patient or what they perceive is the personality type of the patient. Yeah, no. Your neurologic symptoms, your memory problems, your aches and pains, your gut problems, all of these problems, they're not problems. They're in your head. Now, why would an intelligent, well-meaning practitioner think that way? Why would they do that? Well, first of all, they simply do. That's how they think. So if you think a particular way and you are exposed to a patient with certain health problems, I'm just giving you a little bit of back-end experience here, folks. That practitioner, if he or she... So if that practitioner cannot explain what's going on in their base of knowledge, in their wheelhouse, their only conclusion left is, you must be making it up. And that doctor often is quite convinced of that perspective because they don't have a broader perspective to consider things. You know, what's really interesting about healthcare, and this is particularly true in medicine, is that if practitioners in medicine today practice the same sort of medicine they practiced even 20 years ago, for example, they would probably be guilty of malpractice. What was thought to be correct and right at one point in time turns out to not be so correct and right because we learn. But I think practitioners, and this is also true in the natural field, in my opinion, is that at any given point in time in our knowledge, we could, well, we know what we know, and we make conclusions as if we don't realize, we forget that we're on a continuum of learning and there's more to know. And we might dismiss our current concepts about how the body works and how health happens and how disease happens and how disease is cured now, which could be very different later. So I personally try to be humble in terms of concluding that this is what we know. Okay? Now, this brings me to the next major holistically minded thinking process that might help you overcome your current health problem. And that is this. It's based on the point I just raised. How do you overcome the fact that we just don't know now what we may know later? How do we overcome that? Well, there is something that can be done, I think, about that. So in my blood detective philosophy, which is a philosophy that is built on the holistic philosophy, but it's also built on giving the person what the person's body needs so that it can heal. So you've heard that before, so what? Well, how do we reduce the probability that what we're going to try now in terms of lifestyle and diet and nutritional supplements, for example, is the most right it can be. And in a year from now, you won't hear on some radio show or read in a magazine that it was all wrong. Okay? That's a good one, and I'll tell you how I got around that. The way you get around not being wrong or just way off base about what you're attempting to do now in terms of your healing is by basing your attempts on your needs now biochemically and in other ways through, you know, first of all, I should say, when I assess an individual, I go through a very detailed questionnaire process, very detailed conversations, clarifying health problems, health goals, what the person can reasonably accomplish, what have they done, what has seemed to work, what has not. And when we consider, again, lifestyle, exercise, diet, stress reduction, supplements, foods, basing all of that information, wrapping it all up, and basing that on the individual right now and figuring out what their needs are. But then the way you reduce the risk of finding out that it was wrong later is you have to use yourself as a sort of guinea pig, comparing yourself to yourself, not yourself to average people your age, at least not doing that only, which is what medicine does. It compares, let's say, your blood work to men or women your age. So my point here is that if you are, let's say, recommended by me, we sit down, we have a detailed conversation, we decide what testing we want to do in labs and all of that, and we figure out what we think is a very good start, nutritionally speaking and in other ways. You try them. Then we look at your chemistries and we look at your questionnaires, my blood detective longevity questionnaires, which scores you in different areas of the body, pulling it all together as it is, naturally together. Then we make adjustments and then we see how you change compared to you. That is a major way, I believe, that you can reduce the fact that what many people are doing, even though it's natural, it seems correct, is not so right for them or not as right as it can be, as if they would get the appropriate comparative testing and evaluations so that adjustments can be made. That is how, a simple procedure to make sure you're getting it right. Check yourself against yourself. Now, in medicine, they have a term for this. They call it antidotal. And they make fun of that, actually. They're like, well, is that just one individual or a small group of individuals? And no, we need double-blind, placebo-controlled studies. So let me tell you something about double-blind studies you need to be afraid of. Okay? And here it is in a nutshell. They're not about you. By definition, what are studies? Studies are taking a group of people, either men or women or a combination, and maybe they're in a certain age category with a certain health problem, and there's, in other words, a selected group of individuals. And then, and you've heard this before, they might be testing, let's say, the effect of a drug on this age group, and they will give half the group the actual drug, and the other group, they actually give the sugar pill. Okay, they don't really give sugar pills, by the way, but it's a placebo. It's not the drug. And then they draw a conclusion. How well did the group they gave the actual medication to, which is a control group, fare relative to the placebo group who got the fake thing? And then the study would conclude that, okay, well, 25% of people responded to this drug, and it clearly had a benefit beyond just the placebo. So they'll say the average 50-year-old or 60-year-old requires this amount of this drug for this problem. You know what the problem with that is? There is no such thing as the average 50 or 60-year-old or average person of any age. Because average, by definition, is a mishmash of a bunch of people. I only care about one thing. I care about you. So we have to assess you compared to you over time. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't consider other tests and studies and what they've said. They should studies, by the way, double-blind studies and other types of studies, they are there to inform doctors of concepts and to guide much of their choices on a daily basis as they practice clinically. But many practitioners forget that those averages are just that. They're just averages. And now we need to look at the individual. That is the difference between a holistic way of viewing a person and a medical way. The medical way is based on averages. You stick with specific protocols. The tools that you use are surgery, medications for the most part. And in holistic, at least I can only speak for the way I practice, it is never only giving a person some generalized approach. Here's the diet you should have. Here's the best diet. You should take these best supplements. But figuring out what that person needs for their problem. Here's another distinction for you. Is that whether you have a headache or migraines or what, think of your health problem for a minute. Just think of the top one, what it is. Maybe it's diabetes. Maybe you have an autoimmune disease. Maybe you have cancer, unfortunately, cardiovascular disease. No two people, even your age that are of your sex, have the same chemistry or the same genetics or the same likes or dislikes, nor will they respond to medications or nutrients a certain way. You get the point? That the diagnosis is the next fantasy. So a diagnosis, this is the next holistic distinction. That if you are clear on this, I think you're going to get this whole topic in a whole other way. You know, there's one thing about learning new information or reinforcing, you know, beliefs that you already have, like holistic is better. And another thing to actually practice it that way. So some of you might be wondering, okay, so I have my health problem. You know, Dr. Wald's on the radio. He doesn't really know what I have. I don't. But whatever diagnosis you've been given, think about the fact that the diagnosis is a label. Just like your parents gave you a name, it's a label. Are you your label? Are you your label? No. You are something other than your label. You know, the thing about language is that when we use language to describe a thing, this person's name, this person is this way, the day is this way, the day is that way, the description, the words, the diagnosis is not the thing you are describing. So what I mean by that is when I hear a person expressing to me their list of diagnoses, of course I take those very seriously. If their diagnosis, again, is high cholesterol, or their diagnosis is some intestinal problem, inflammatory bowel disease, it might be colon cancer, it might be lupus, it might be Sjogren's syndrome, it might be immune deficiency, there might be malabsorption, whatever. I have to remind myself, when I go back to my holistic fundamentals, that the diagnosis from one person to another is not at all accurate. The only level of accuracy that a diagnosis has, at best, is that your diagnosis was given to you because you complained of certain problems that your doctor acknowledged and or found enough abnormalities in places so that you could be neatly fit in a category of similars. So yeah, if you have weakness in your legs and you also have neuropathy and then a neurologist finds you have plaques in your brain, in your brain, sort of dead spots or damaged spots of the type of the brain called the white matter, then you would be put in the multiple sclerosis category. Now, the thing is this. Someone made up all of that. So someone said, well, if someone has these neurologic symptoms and I do an MRI of their brain and they have plaques that are located around a certain area of the brain called the ventricles, then we're going to call that MS. Now, if you have all the same symptoms, by the way, and you have plaques and those plaques are not around that area of the brain, everyone in neurology is confused. Then they'll say, well, we'll call it probable MS. So, you know, we don't really know if you have it, what have you. These are confusions caused by false descriptions or diagnoses, which fool people and practitioners into thinking that that means anything. And what I mean by that is, fine, even if we accept the diagnosis as truth, from one person's diagnosis to another person with the same diagnosis, their nutritional needs might be completely different. What they require for healing might be completely different. They may respond completely differently to certain medications or none at all. So, what could cause demyelination, breakdown of the brain? Well, there may be a genetic component. There's even studies that show that the brain degenerates. And by the way, not just an MS. All of our brains are degenerating, so everyone should be listening to this. Heavy metals can degenerate our brain. Chronic inflammation can degenerate our brains. Lack of certain nutrients like folic acid and B1, for example, can degenerate our brains. Gluten can degenerate a part of the brain called the cerebellum. It's called cerebellar atrophy. Malabsorption. Lack of certain hormones like testosterone and dehydroepiandrosterone, or DHEA, or growth hormone, might degenerate or atrophy our brains. The list goes on and on. Lack of blood supply to the brain. All sorts of things. But at the end of the day, there's brain degeneration, and it might be 12 different reasons for 12 different people's brain degeneration, but they're all diagnosed with MS. And then the doctors are very confused as to why the patient why they don't respond to the same medication. So it's very important, it is essential, when we think from a holistic perspective, that we look into the details that might have given us that diagnosis. You know, and what's interesting too, and I believe this was an article in the New England Journal of Medicine, where they were reviewing, and this has been done many times since, they were reviewing the accuracy of the medical diagnosis. And at least the particular study I'm thinking of said that 80% of the time, and I'm paraphrasing here, but very closely paraphrasing, 80% of the time, medical diagnoses are wrong. They are wrong. That means, in my mind, that 100% of the time, or at least a large percentage of the time, any treatment provided to those individuals that have been given a wrong diagnosis are wrong. So even in the best case scenario, just the labels we're putting on people, the diagnoses, are wrong. That's why I prefer, in addition to a diagnosis, I mean, why throw out the baby with the bathwater? I can have a diagnosis. I don't have to believe it. But when I approach a patient and they have a certain diagnosis, I explain that this tells us that you have certain symptoms that are similar to other people that some individuals in medicine had previously defined as what the disease is. That tells us nothing about your needs. Do you absorb? Do you not absorb? What are your environmental exposures? What are your genetics like? What have you been doing to help yourself? What's worked? What's not worked? Things of that nature help us get closer. So what I'm going to do now is wrap up this show, hoping that I've given you some additional food for thought about how you are not your diagnoses. You need what you need to get healthy. As a fundamental approach to your health, you need to know if you're absorbing. You need to know if inflammation is driving your health problems. And you need to know how to eat and what supplements to take and what other lifestyle choices will help reverse, change, slow down, or modify favorably any disease process that you might have. And that happens when you are paid attention to as an individual and not an average. The next show, I'll review the top 10 tests that you need to know about that will help you adjust your lifestyle towards being the healthiest you can be. So please feel free to continue to send me your show concepts, because all of these show concepts come from you. Email them to me or send me a note if you want, have a question, at info@blooddetective.com. So the email is info@blooddetective.com. For those of you who want to work with me holistically, then you can call me. My number is 914-242-8844. I will personally call you back. look at my website and listen to some of my other shows, watch my videos. It's at www.integratednutritionny.com. I work with people through the phone. I work through FaceTime, in-person, distance consults, whatever it takes. And I only work with one individual at a time. You get my cell number. We can text. We can email. Whatever it takes. Because chronic health problems need that sort of attention. So once again, my name is Dr. Michael Wald. You're listening to Ask the Blood Detective. Join me next time for the top 10 holistic tests that you need to know to make sure that you stay well and get well. Thanks for joining me today. Come out, Virginia, don't let me wait. You Catholic girls start much too late. All sooner or later it comes down to fate. I might as well be the one. Well, they showed you a statue, told you to pray. They built you a temple and locked you away. Ah, but they never told you the price that you pay. The things that you might have done.